Thank you, Glenn. I think I'll get the announcements out of the way at this time. Wednesday evening is worship and song, and snacks and fellowship will follow the service. Friday, junior choir and tiny tots at 7 and 8 p.m. at Dan and Manon's. And there's an up-and-coming event, the 50th wedding anniversary celebration for Dave and Cheryl Taylor. And that'll be October the 27th from 2 to 4 p.m. at the East Local. And I would like to request, if I could, at the end of the service, maybe I will get Mark and Leslie, if you would join Mark, I'd like to be administered too. I'm going to have a procedure Wednesday at the Liberty Hospital, and so I'd like to have that administration. It is my pleasure this evening to introduce to you someone that you already know, our brother Mark Hill. And he's going to bring to us the word of the Lord. It's cold outside. It's only 40 degrees. But you know, we have the warmth in here. Not just the warmth temperature-wise, but the warmth and the love of God. And that's precious to us. And I'm sure that Mark is going to tell us why. So I invite your attention and your prayers. Greet him with your biggest smiles, our brother, Mark Hill.
Thank you, Alvin. I don't have anything new to bring to you, but I've got some things that went through my mind the last couple of days that I need, and I need it badly. I'll be honest with you and give you a little bit of a confession. I haven't been doing very well lately mentally, and I don't know why, because I should be able to handle the stresses of life and of work better than what I'm doing, but I'm not. So the sermon is to help me out, be honest with you, because I don't want to be a grouchy old man. And things have changed, which that's life changes. You know, I feel like I've had more stress this last year than I've had on me constant for a long time, and it's wearing on me. There are days I don't think I'm going to make it very well, and I think I'm going to crack. Lana may say I already have at times. But I'm having trouble with my attitude. I really am, and it's, I don't mean that as an excuse, and I don't mean to be whining. But I've got to, Paul says we're to look inward, so that's what I've done here lately in the last, well, several weeks. Some days it works great, other days it's not so well. But I know the scriptures, I know what they say. I had to go read them again. This one just came to life. The Lord knows I'm struggling. I've taken it to him. I'm not going to do well with that light in my face. Thank you. Anyway, that's what's going on. I apologize for not being here like I should. I apologize if people have asked me how I'm doing and I've avoided them because I don't want to tell them the truth, and I don't want to sound like I'm whining. So I just don't say anything. So I do apologize for that. But I'm going to get better because I know how the Lord works, and I know that he's teaching me something that I kind of got an idea of what he's teaching me, but then again, I can't get a grasp on it. As usual, I'm going to have to be hit up the side of the head probably with a stick. But anyway, I was going through the scriptures and they just started falling into place, and I'm going to start in Ecclesiastes. Because life changes for each and every one of us, whatever stage that we might be in, whether we're young, middle-aged, or starting to get gray hair, get a little bit older. Kids come into our life, grandkids come into our life, things change at our employment. Ecclesiastes 3, and it says, "To everything there's a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven." God has his purposes, and he will bring forth his purposes in his own timing. Whatever his purpose might be for me, whatever his purpose might be for you. I don't believe in circumstance. I don't believe that things just happen, I'll put it that way. Sometimes there are circumstances that fall into place to guide and direct us in the way that God would like us to go if we listen to him. But I don't believe in happenstance. I'm one of those people that I think everything happens for a reason, whatever it might be. I don't have to know the reason, but that's my belief. Verse 2, "A time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it." And that may be what's going on. Maybe he's exercising me in it. We'll find out sooner or later, because I think we can take everything to the Lord, and in faith, sooner or later, he'll give us the answers one way or the other, I believe. And everything that we do is about choices. You made a choice to come to church tonight. You made a choice to come this morning if you came. Very good sermon, by the way. I listened to it on my phone and watched it while I was working on this and studying. Very good. But there's a time for all things to happen in our life, and God directs those times for his purposes. Page 84 of the Book of Mormon. 2 Nephi, first chapter. I'm going to start at verse 94. Because we've all had to make a choice on who we're going to follow in life. We've had to make a choice on what we're going to do in life. It's all about choices, and we are given that freedom. Page 84, second book of Nephi, verse 94. And this is Lehi speaking to his sons, and he says, "Now, my sons, I speak unto you these things for your profit and learning. For there is a God, and he hath created all things, both the heavens and the earth, and all things that in them is, both things to act and things to be acted upon. Both things to act and things to act And to bring about his eternal purposes in the end of man, after that he had created our first parents, and the beasts of the field, and the fowls of the air, and in fine, all things which are created, it must needs be, there was an opposition. Even the forbidden fruit in opposition to the tree of life, the one being sweet and the other bitter. Wherefore, the Lord God gave unto man that he should act for himself. Wherefore, a man could not act for himself, save it should be that he was enticed by one or the other." There's an opposition in all things. And if I was taught right in science class, everything has an opposite and equal reaction. And the first choice, I believe, that had to be made was when the fallen angel, the devil, tempted Eve and said, "You can eat this fruit and ye shall not surely die." And so Eve had a choice to make, because she was told not to eat it. She had a choice to disobey. And so she did. We can kind of look back on it and say, well, that might not have been such a bad thing, because then the plan of redemption couldn't have come about. But she had a choice, and she made the wrong one for her. And they were kicked out of the Garden of Eden. And in verse 111, he says, "And now behold, if Adam had not transgressed, he would not have fallen, but he would have remained in the Garden of Eden. And all things which were created must have remained in the same state which they were after that they were created, and they must have remained forever and had no end. And they would have had no children. Wherefore, they would have remained in a state of innocence, having no joy, for they knew no misery, doing no good, for they knew no sin. But behold, all things have been done in the wisdom of him who knoweth all things. Adam fell, that men might be, and men are, that they might have joy." It doesn't say they will have joy. It says that they might have joy. They've got a choice to make. "And the Messiah cometh in the fullness of time, that he might redeem the children of men from the fall. And because that they are redeemed from the fall, they have become forever free, knowing good from evil, to act for themselves and not to be acted upon, save it be by the punishment of the Lord at the great and last day, according to the commandments which God hath given. Wherefore, men are free according to the flesh, and all things are given them which are expedient unto men. And they are free to choose liberty and eternal life through the great mediator of all men, or to choose captivity and death according to the captivity and power of the devil." You have a choice to make whether you're going to end up in heaven or you're going to end up in hell. It's your choice. You have a choice to make if you're going to follow after Jesus Christ or go your own way. Because it was given to us so that we'd make the choice. We're not forced to make it. Yeah, I believe there are things that are put in our way to try to wake us up. I know they were in my life. You know, to guide and direct me down the path that God wanted me to go on. But it was my choice. You know, even when Paul was struck down and he was blind, I truly believe that he still had a choice that could have made. He could have followed his own path and went his own way. I'm glad he didn't. That he did what the Lord wanted him to do. Because that's the freedom we have, is to choose life or death, heaven or hell. But it also comes down to our daily lives, the choices that we make of all the things that are put before us define us. You know, you don't really know where you stand on any type of subject, whether it be in life or in school, and that's, you know, as much as you might hate tests, that's what tests are for. So if you know the material or not and how well you know it. And you don't know how well you're going to do in life until you're tested. Let's go to James. James 1, and I'll start at verse 2. It says, "My brother, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations." All the different temptations that come at us, the different things that the devil throws at us to trip us up, he knows us. And like I say to people lately, the devil's good at what he does. I'm not saying the devil's good, but he's good at what he does. And if you don't watch it, and if you don't pray, and if you don't stand on the rock, that's Jesus Christ, you're going to fall. The devil just chips and chips and chips. Verse 3, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Maybe that's what he's trying to teach me, is to be a little bit more patient. I don't know yet. I'm not a very patient person at times. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. And you could stop there, but sometimes I don't quite understand what he's wanting me to do. I don't quite understand what the diverse trial or whatever it might be that's working on me, what I'm supposed to learn from it. So that's, he goes on here and he says, if any man lack wisdom, sometimes I lack it every day, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given unto him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. When we go to the Lord and we ask the Lord things that we don't understand, that we need wisdom about, we need guidance about, at least anyway, I need to remember that I got to have the faith that he knows all things. He knows the answer to anything I ask. He knows the answers that will straighten me out. He knows the answer to why my attitude's the way it is lately. He knows the answer to why I feel like I've got 1,000 pounds of weight on my shoulder each and every day lately. My shoulders are rounded, but that's not why. But he knows those things. I haven't got all the answers yet. But yet I know he has them. And I got faith that whatever purpose that he's trying to work in me will come to pass. I have faith that I'll one day listen to exactly what it is he's trying to tell me. And I hope that I make the right choice, that I go down the right path that he wants me to go on. We've got some examples of Paul that he's had trials and tribulations, and I don't know how his attitude was, but he seemed to fare very well. He finally learned how to deal with everything that came his way. 2 Corinthians. Is that a thought? I've had it before. Sometimes I think when I make a plan for my life and I plan it out way out in advance and all this thing, everything's going according to plan and stuff, I think God has a sense of humor and he says, watch this, Mark. And it changes. And things don't go the way that I've planned. And I have to roll with it. I've got to change. I guess I have to change the outlook in the end if it's not going that direction. Here's, before I start here, an example. Oh, boy, I don't know how to explain this to you if you don't understand. Back in the 80s, the government deregulated the phone industry. Everything from the little box on the outside of your house, in your house, it became yours. The government said, that's yours. Now, they offer maintenance contracts and all that stuff to take care of it. There was supposed to be more competition because of it. I don't know if that ever came about or not. But all these companies, they call them interconnect companies, contract companies, anything you wanted that you might need inside for a business or your house, they were offering it. And I thought I wanted to do that very badly. Every one of them that I know of is folded. And I'm still with the phone company that I started with. I've never been unemployed. But yet it was something that I wanted bad because I knew people that were going into it and they were making decent money. until everything fell through, till those companies went bankrupt. And there's not a whole lot of them around anymore. Some of them have made it, and they're big, and they do well. But the Lord knew that that's not what I needed. He knew the end game before I even started, but that wasn't my plans. Another example. I coveted a instructor's job with the phone company, big time. I wanted that more than anything else at that point, as far as having a job and working for the same phone company. As to date, I've done this for almost 42 years. I probably don't know what I'm doing, but I think I do. But I wanted that bad, I mean real bad. I had 7 interviews. Out of those 7 interviews, 4 of them I thought I had the job. One of them I thought, all right, it's time to start packing my stuff up here where I'm at, because I know this job's mine. The last moment, somebody else went across the board and bid into it and got it. But I was devastated. And I thought, but you know what? When I look back on that with 2020, the Lord knew that my children needed a dad at home. Because at that time, at that job, I'd been flying all over the place. I wouldn't have been home. I might have been home more than I am now, but I wouldn't have been home when my kids were growing up. But that wasn't what I wanted. But the Lord knew that that wasn't good for me. And it was His purpose that I didn't get any of those. I look back on it now and I'm very thankful. But He has His purposes. And I still wonder what His purpose is for me, you know, in the long haul. But He has His purposes, and they will come about for the best for you if you follow after the Lord. It's turned out good for me. I'm not a millionaire. I don't want to be. But if I'd have went down either one of those two paths, things wouldn't have been well. I don't know what they'd have been because it didn't transpire. I don't know if any of you have looked back on your life and thought, okay, I wanted to go this way, but the Lord had something else in mind for me. So He guided you in another direction. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 24. This is Paul, and he's going through things that happened to him while he was in his ministry and in his life. Of the 5 times received I 40 stripes save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. The night and the day I have been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak? And I'm not weak. Who is offended? And I burn not. I thought I was a strong individual at one time, mentally. Come to find out, I'm not that strong. The Lord can break you if He wants to break you. And He did that at my baptism, or a little bit before that. I don't know how to explain it, but He broke me in a way that I knew that it was Him, and I knew that He was going to build me up after He broke me down, and He did. And I think it's worked out all right. But Paul had all these things that have happened to him. And then he asks, you know, who is weak? Am I not weak? He says, I can't handle all of that stuff on my own. I have to have the Lord with me. I mean, that's a lot of things to go through. Who'd want to be out in the water for 3 days? Probably treading water. He was shipwrecked. Wrote the wrong note down by the wrong scripture. Philippians. That's what I was searching for. I wonder where that's at in there. It's not there. Philippians, the fourth chapter. Still Paul again, verse 11. And Paul here says, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am in, therewith to be content. I haven't learned that yet, evidently. But I know I'm going to get there, hopefully before I die. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. He knows how to be abased. He knows how to be brought low. He knows how to be humble. And I know how to abound. He knows how to pick himself back up. He knows what it's like to have enough to spare. He's had increase in his life. But he knows both things. When I read all those other things in Corinthians, he seems to take it in stride. All the things that are thrown at him, he seems to take it in stride. But he says that he's learned it. He just didn't have it. He says that I have learned, and whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Verse 13 is where it all comes from. And I guess I didn't put two and two together as far as what Paul was talking about right here, because we use this scripture. Sometimes I think we don't use it in the proper fashion. I don't know how to. But anyway, all the things that Paul had been through and that he learned how to be abased and he learned to abound, he learned that. And in verse 13 it says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. That's where his strength comes from, is Jesus Christ. That's what I got to remember day in and day out with my struggles in life, that it's Jesus Christ that I got to keep my focus on. That's where I got to keep my eye at. That's the rock that I got to keep standing on. Because that's the only way I'm going to get through my trials, my tribulations, the things that Satan throws at me. The temptations that come before me. The only way I'm going to stand is through Jesus Christ who strengthens me. The only way. Because I know myself, and if I don't have Jesus Christ to help me through things, I'll fall in a heartbeat. Galatians 5. It was a very good sermon that I listened to and watched on my phone this morning. And I have to remember also that I made that choice on my own. I was baptized. I gave myself to Jesus Christ. Although there are times I don't act like it. And I feel ashamed about it. But I gave myself to Jesus Christ. I was baptized. I know I received the Holy Ghost because I felt it. And hopefully that I have witnessed that I was willing to take upon me Jesus Christ, that I was willing to become a member of the body of Jesus Christ. It was a choice that I made willingly. Probably one of the best choices, probably the best choice I ever made in my life. It changed everything. It changed the way I see things, the way I perceive things. And I have to remember that the fruit of that Spirit is what it's going to talk, what I'm going to read right now. I have to remember, I need to show that. Get the frown off my face. Pick my head up, stand up straight, and remember that I am a son of God. That I can do all the things that come at me through Jesus Christ. And I need to remember this, that it's the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. I have to remember that fruit. I mean, I just can't pick one because it doesn't say it's fruits. It says it's a fruit of the Spirit. And if I've been given the Holy Ghost, I got to walk in it. I have to exercise what it'll do for me. That it'll guide and direct me and bring things back to my remembrance that I need to have. It'll help me to remember that if I stay in Jesus Christ, I can't be beat by Satan and all the things that he has out there. And I forget that sometimes, that the sermon I was going to do had to do with the power that's available to us, but that didn't come about. I was going through some paperwork, and I saw some of these scriptures here, and I thought, no, the Lord said, that's it right there. And I said, okay, so someday I'm going to do that, because it's been something that's been on my mind, and I've kind of studied it. We have a power available to us as members of the body of Jesus Christ that I don't know as we understand. But anyway, I need to walk and remember that power is available if I live the right way. The power to know things. The power to have a good attitude. That I can walk upright. And I know people aren't seeing it in me lately. But that's what bothers me most, is being a bad example for Jesus Christ. That wears on me more than anything lately. Because I've let things beat me down. So that's why I said this sermon's for me, because I've got to remember it. I'm going to keep this paper out with my notes on it and stuff. Because I'm going to have to look at it probably every day. But that's all right. Because I know that I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Also on page 768 of the Book of Mormon. I'm winding down. I have to remember that I have to have charity also. That's not just giving money or writing a check to a foundation. 768. Seventh chapter of Moroni. It's been read so many times I ought to have it memorized, but I don't. Some of it I do. But besides the fruit of the Spirit, all those things that I read off there that I need to show in my life, I also need to remember to have these things, because if you don't have charity in your life, it's not going to be well for you. It says that in the Scriptures. Moroni 7, verse 51. And charity suffereth long and is kind, and envieth not, and is not puffed up, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, and rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, if ye have not charity, ye are nothing, for charity never faileth. Wherefore, cleave unto charity, which is the greatest of all. For all things must fail, but charity is the pure love of Christ, and it endureth forever. And whoso is found possessed with it to the last day, it shall be well with them. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, pray unto the Father with all the energy of heart, that ye may be filled with his love, which he hath bestowed upon all who are true followers of his Son, Jesus Christ, that ye may become the sons of God, that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is, that we may have this hope, that we may be purified, even as he is pure. Amen. The trials and the tribulations and the pressures of life, the temptations that come my way, that's what's going to define me, is how I handle it. That's how it's going to define me, by the choices I make when all those things are going on. It's not that they're going to come because, or come or not come, they're going to come. They're going to be there. It's just the way it is. It's the test. We've got choices to make. You all have a choice to make. So what will you decide when the time comes? And I have to remember to myself, what kind of attitude will I have when I'm going through all this stuff? Keep your focus on Jesus Christ. I thank you very much. Thank you, Darren, for the sermon this morning.
I apologize. You want to know why I didn't call you back? Because I was ashamed. Because I'm not doing well at that time. And I've told them, I didn't want to say I wasn't doing bad, and I didn't want to whine. I'm sorry. Thanks, everybody.